Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're on Trump Watch.
Yes. You're here 2 days in a row?
I'm here two days in a row, which breaks a record.
Jeez. Thank you for doing that.
There's a representative of the Guinness Book of World Records standing in the corner just to verify the fact that I'm here 2 days in a row. So that's nice. I will be in the new Guinness Book of World Records along with Chang'anang Bunker and Robert Earl Hughes, the world's largest man.
Are Chang'anang twins?
Yeah, they're the Siamese twins. Yeah.
They were never separated, huh?
No. No. Couldn't. Those brothers were inseparable, Wendy. So within moments, we believe, President-elect Donald Trump will be speaking at a press conference that some are calling hard to call because in the past, we have noticed that Mr. Trump and the press don't always get along very well. So this is sort of precedent setting, and we'll see exactly
President setting, as he would say.
Well, it's, you know, and for a number of, well, for countless reasons, really.
Yes.
I mean, not the least of which is the fact that, you know, it's very unusual for a president-elect to not come out and take a news conference after winning.
Mm-hmm. But he did not.
He has not. This is the first
one
since, I think it's July or since the summer at any rate, you know, formal at a podium answering questions. He took questions from time to time at Mar-a-Lago and once in the lobby with Kanye West, I think.
That's right.
But as far as a formal news conference, he's not done that yet.
167 days, according to Aaron Kutursky.
Since the last time he spoke with the press.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
And I mean, there's just so much to ask him about. I mean, the questions of election night have sort of passed now, but he's got several nominees on Capitol Hill facing hearings today. A couple might be in trouble. It looks like others are sailing through, still others. I mean, Jeff Sessions yesterday, the attorney general nominee, openly sort of espousing views different from which Donald Trump campaigned on.
That was interesting.
And that's big, and all of it dwarfed by this release yesterday.
Don't say release.
Yes.
Sorry.
We have to be, the wording has to be very delicate, Steve.
Best I can here. To,
I know. It's just crazy. This is your made-for-TV movie right here.
I think so.
With this, and you know, and BuzzFeed released some of the more graphic details of what is alleged that the president-elect, his behavior in 2013. But aside from that, you can look at the New York Times, Washington Post, more mainstream, those who would not have and did not publish that. They do say in their reporting that there was this two-page addendum to the briefing that was given to the president-elect and to the president and
yeah.
to congressional leaders because of the potential explosiveness of all of this. So there is something it seems pretty clear that there is something here. Whether the specifics in BuzzFeed are accurate or not, it you know, it's and everyone's focusing on the sex part of
right.
it. But you know, this is a real thing. If they are holding over him information, we may never know because it loses its value once it's released. And so if they do have this sort of blackmail material over him, it's the sort of thing that they could indeed use to influence his decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's a campaign where the opponent's going to release it to get votes. The value, the power in this information is in having it never released and having the threat of its release.
Isn't that blackmail?
It would be blackmail. It's absolutely blackmail. And
redmail.
And that's what, you know, I don't know if we'll ever... Just let me know, you two.
No, just let me know.
Give me a sign.
Seriously?
Like Vice President Biden. Just give me a little cock of the gun there, and I'll go.
We're just trying to... Let's try and get a little break in here before he goes live. I appreciate you being the journalistic connoisseur.
It comes and goes.
Well, I mean, it's laughable to me. This whole thing is really
If it weren't so tragic, it would be hysterically funny. But
I
it
know.
Is. It's both. It's everything.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Let's just say it's going to be a golden day. And we will be back. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
President-elect Donald Trump holding his first news conference since the election in November, outlining a number of things, acknowledging that it was indeed Russia that was behind the hacks of the DNC and elsewhere, and several times took pains, if you will, or went the distance to blame the intelligence agencies for leaking this much-talked-about two-page addendum, the thing that came out last night, first reported by BuzzFeed, then CNN, and picked up by other agencies, others like the New York Times and Washington Post, saying that, yes, indeed, there was this addendum given to the president-elect that said Russia may have compromising material when it comes to him that could be used as blackmail. The New York Times said that it was unsubstantiated, as did the memo. They did not say it was untrue, as the president-elect said there a couple of times. But the president-elect clearly blaming intelligence agencies for leaking this information. He made news on a number of other topics, much about the business separation, talking about a trust and the fact that Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump will now run his business. Ivanka Trump will have no ties to it. All pending deals, they say, were terminated. There will be no new foreign deals made by the Trump business. New domestic deals will go through a vigorous process of vetting before they are allowed. Another thing, emoluments was brought up by Donald Trump's tax lawyer, Sherry Dillon. That's interesting because what the complaint was there was that foreign governments would be obligated, and in fact some sort of said so, that to stay at Donald Trump's Washington, D.C. hotel when they come to the Capitol to do business. Dillon says that that would not be a violation of the emoluments clause of the Constitution, but she said any profits from foreign government agencies staying at Trump hotels will be donated to the U.S. Treasury. So quite a lot going on there. The president completely denying any substance from the allegations that was reported in BuzzFeed, not picked up the specifics anywhere else. And at one point even joked, everyone knows I'm a germaphobe. A lot to go through here, and we will continue to follow it. Kim Gordon will have more coming up in the 11:30 headlines, and we'll discuss it as well with Terry Savage on the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. For now, back to Bill and Wendy.
And I believe we will be discussing this all day today.
Oh, sure.
Certainly, we'll have more time in the second half. We're going to have Kristen McQuarrie in later on this afternoon, and clinical psychologist John Duffy will be in after the 11:30 news, which might be perfect timing.
I think so. I think it is.
Quick break?
Yeah, a break and then more show. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. If I may just say one thing, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we have pretty much been preempted the whole first part of our show.
Yeah, that press conference went on a little over an hour. Nobody was sure exactly how long it would go, how it would go, what would be covered. There were some ideas.
The first thing I would do as president, and I'm sure you both would agree with me, Bertrand is actually getting ready for the Wintrust Business Lunch.
But putting his costume on.
The first thing I would do as president is make microphones available to the press when they ask their questions. This has been going on for how many years? How is that not already solved?
I think because the audience, the room, was so vast with reporters, maybe they had a hard time determining exactly where you could mic it because
you get 10 wireless mics and
it
you
could
pass them around.
Certainly be done.
You want to make press conferences great again, don't you?
Yes, I do, Kim. Thank you.
It certainly could have been done. It's very strange that on an important day where we needed to hear both the questions and the answers, we only got to hear the answers. That was peculiar.
I didn't really hear any answers. Did you? I heard like roundabout ways of taking the question and turning it into the information you wanted to give.
He always reminds me of when you're in fifth grade and you're taking an essay test and you have no idea what the answer is and you just go in all different directions trying to fill time, hoping that some of it makes sense. Some of it does make sense. A lot of it doesn't make sense. I throughout the entire hour plus, I kept thinking, boy, there's so much going on here and there's nothing going on here at the exact same time.
You're right.
Really, nothing major was answered. He condemned fake news. A guy who spends most of his day making up statistics condemned fake news, which we knew he would do. That's what you have to do in a case like that. I don't remember him condemning it when we had the Pizzagate scandal with Hillary Clinton, when somebody leaked the fact that she had some sex ring going on. You could call Rocket Pizza and order a teenage prostitute. I don't remember them.
But hold the anchovies.
Please hold the anchovies because they'll cost extra. They always do.
It's funny you bring up Hillary Clinton because there was a point when he said, listen, I can deal with Vladimir Putin better than Hillary. That whole point is moot now. We don't have to worry about Hillary dealing with him.
He constantly has to either remind himself or the American public that he won the election. We know. Some of us are happy about it. Some of us are not happy about it. But we understand that he won the election. But he doesn't seem to be able to go 5 or 10 minutes without reminding us or himself that those were the results. He did say, do you think Hillary would have done much better in her dealings with Vladimir Putin? Maybe. We'll never know.
And it doesn't matter now.
Doesn't matter now.
I have other questions. Some listener actually texted us at 312-981-7200. And I'll tell you, we'll spend a lot of time on this during our second half.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right.
Let people digest this. You and I have both taken pages of notes that we'd like to discuss.
I took more notes today than I did my entire 4 years in college. I don't know why, but I did.
I'm with you on that one. So my question, and someone texted it in, is I thought this was his press conference. Why did we have to have his accountant, Sherry Dillon, filling up space?
His tax attorney spent about 15 or 16 minutes telling us what we can expect and how there won't be a conflict of interest.
But there still is, in my opinion.
Right before he brought Sherry Dillon up, he explained that he has a good friend in Dubai whose name is Hussein, by the way, the same name that every time Barack Obama's middle name came up, it was used in a negative response. His good friend, Hussein, is in Dubai, and he could work a deal there if he wanted
dollar.
To. $1 billion deal. He could work that deal, but it's not in anyone's best interest right now. And then his tax attorney explained how that won't happen.
I know. See, I don't get it. And the reason he said whether or not his friend is named Hussein, I think he said that to prove to people, see, I like Muslims.
Right. Some of my best friends. Well, he mentioned that he has got a lot of friends who are Mexican. He always points out,
oh my God,
whenever condemning anybody.
Does he have any gay friends? Because that people
say
that too.
It's possible.
I can't keep my mouth shut anymore. Up to the election, it's like I didn't want to persuade anyone to do anything. You do what you want. But I just am completely freaked out. And after watching the epitome of class and eloquence last night with Barack Obama's farewell tour.
I just.
It's hopeless. We'll never make it. Never. We're done for.
We're doomed.
I hope that wasn't from CNN, Wendy, because if it was, we know it's fake. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up. Kim's going to give you the news. Dr. John Duffy's going to stop by. And in much of the second half, we'll talk about what we saw both last night with Barack Obama's farewell address and then today's press conference with Donald Trump. Stay here. A lot to be talked about. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill has worked 2 days in a row. Very proud of you for that.
I'm wearing a tiara right now, and that's the main reason, Wendy, because I'm proud of myself for putting in 2 straight days of work. Actually, I haven't gotten through the second day yet.
Yeah,
I'm taking a vacation
the day
here in the
young.
Second half. John Duffy is here, noted psychologist. We need you now more than ever, John. We really do. I want to start out. I know there's other things to discuss, but
sure.
we watched the press conference with Donald Trump, and I'm curious about this, not just today, but almost any time I see Donald Trump speak. There seems to be the urge to constantly pat himself on the back. Whenever he's talking about anything, he throws in little
instances. I did this tremendously.
Right.
Right, right.
No matter what it is. At some point, he was talking about Russia, and he quickly threw in the fact that the Miss Universe pageant did very well in Russia. There was no reason for that, but he did it. That, to me, says narcissist. I'm not the only one who's branded him a narcissist, but I've never seen an extreme example of somebody who constantly needs self-reassurance. Where does that stem from?
Listen, you know, we all have some degree of ego need, right? We want to feel good about
ourselves.
That's
why we're in radio. Come on, be honest.
Right. Yet, you know, some people have this kind of well of unmet needs. And I think you're hinting at the right thing, Bill. By and large, I've yet to come across a circumstance where that doesn't come from early in childhood, from a parent or both parents. So, you know, I don't know much about Trump's childhood, but I would guess that there was some degree of, you know, you're not good enough. And so he has probably spent a lifetime, 70 years, trying to prove his mother, his father, somebody wrong. And that's why you see that defensiveness and that selling constantly,
yeah.
you know, because I think, you know, and I've worked with a few people like this where their ego needs are so massive that there's really nothing that can happen. I mean, here's a man who's been named leader of the free world.
The highest post you could possibly reach.
You're not going to get a better gig than this.
I'm having a dream. This didn't really happen.
No, it happened. It happened. I saw it on CNN, which could mean it's fake.
Right.
We don't know for sure if it happened or not. All right, so this means that somewhere during his formative years...
Fourth of five children, by the way. I just looked that up.
Donald Travis.
Trying to get some attention.
Sure. Yeah. That middle child syndrome, right? And he's somewhere in the middle there and might get lost in the shuffle, right?
Because, now, on the positive side of that, I would think that if handled properly, that could serve you very well in business. And to be honest, as much as I don't like him, it could serve you very well in politics. It just seems very strange to me that a guy who has achieved what he's achieved needs to constantly put a screwdriver in somebody's back and twist it and twist it and twist it and say, look what I'm succeeding at.
I know what you mean. Right. I mean, certainly in a lot of people that I've known and worked with, it drives this kind of like fierce motivation to achieve something, you know, and you can't argue that this man has achieved quite a bit in his life. Right. You know, the question I think that remains maybe for us as a country is like, when is that part done? And my fear is like, I don't know if it is done. You know what I mean? Like if you reach
we've
this
just
pinnacle.
Tapped that whatever it is, that well of coming out and saying, I did this. President Obama last night, conversely, was saying, we did this as a country. We together. It wasn't like I did this, I did that. I think we're going to hear a lot of I, me.
You already have, and it's hard to picture. One thing about like the you mentioned narcissism or just a deep well of unmet ego needs, it's really resistant to change. So I suspect you're right, Wendy, that this is likely not to change. And as things in his administration, if he does well, if something happens that feels like a win to him, you're going to hear a lot.
Could Hillary have done that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. There was some of that even today, wasn't there?
We just had that today.
Right.
Thank God. It's over with.
Yeah.
All right, so a best-case scenario is he uses this to his advantage, and we all benefit from it. That's best-case scenario.
Right.
But there's also a potential downside to having that sort of a personality, isn't there?
Well, there is because I fear that even just listening today, that there's this potential to undermine a lot of the things that we, you know, we're an anxious populace right now. At least half of the people out here are kind of anxious about what's going to happen economically, internationally. And if our leader, our, you know, commander in chief isn't focused on that, but is focused on like, I'm going to achieve things, then maybe the needs of the country don't get met, but the needs of this man get met. That's what I'm probably most concerned about as we get started here.
Yeah.
I was telling Bill off the air, and I wonder this. I know people wanted a change, and they were sick of how the political arena was run, and they wanted an outsider. And I do kind of get that.
Yep.
You know, they voted with their middle finger. That's what they did.
Absolutely.
But do they love Trump, or do they love that it's somebody different? Because the more I hear from him and the more I'm exposed to, the less confidence I have. And early this year, I said, I have hope. That's all I have. I don't know. My hope is running thin.
Yeah, you know, I think in a lot of ways, the man himself reflects, almost holds a mirror up to a great deal of the population that didn't feel heard in the last 8 years or so. And so, you know, they're hoping to see this grand change in their favor. And I can't tell yet whether that's this man's intent. You know, I was telling Bill that in the green room, I was getting some texts from people saying, hey, this feels way more presidential than in the past. Whereas, you know, but I think the bar is so low relative to, let's say, Obama, who, you know, you can dislike everything about his politics, but I don't think you can argue with his eloquence and his class and the lack of controversy.
His character is amazing. The love of his family, of his wife, of his country. I mean, when I voted for him twice, and I felt that he meant all this stuff from his heart.
And it's a tough day because it's hard not to draw that contrast, right? These couple of speeches happened hours apart, and you hear we in one speech and I in another speech, which probably begs your initial question, Bill.
Sure.
Like, you know, are we dealing with somebody who's narcissistic or has too many unmet ego needs to really fulfill this gig?
how can we as humans be wired so differently? There are certain innate qualities that we have. If something's about to fall on us, most people know to block it,
right?
So how could it be that during last night's speech, so many people could watch it and say, wow, we're losing an actual gem. This guy really did everything he could for the country. And other people watch it and go, oh, my God, I can't stand this guy. Thank God he's done.
Propaganda, and somebody just texted. That's what it was last night. For what? He's going out of the office. He's done.
Well, and part of it might be propaganda today as well, right? I mean, you know,
you
like,
could, so, yeah,
right. You know, right. Like you can make an easy argument that, you know, like there was some news that came out yesterday. And so, you know, in order to distract from that, this man had to focus on other things today.
Right.
You know, so I think propaganda drives a lot of what people feel and who they end up supporting. And when I've talked to a lot of people in the last few months, as I know you guys have as well. And it doesn't always feel like people are supporting a candidate that is necessarily going to work even in their best interests. There's
right.
this feeling about Trump that, like, I like him because he tells it like it is. He's not business as usual. He's not politics as usual. And so we buy into these kind of catchphrases that we hear from these candidates, not really thinking through, like, okay, well, what does that mean for me in my life today, you know,
right.
and over the next 4 or 8 years? Propaganda is powerful. There's a reason that it works, you know, on the populace, on all of us.
Aren't you always leery of people who, quote unquote, tell it like it is? Because what they're really telling you is it's their version of what it is.
And of course.
I mean, I know this, again, to your point, Wendy, this is a business where what anyone listening is, you're hearing our versions of what we think it is.
Of course, right.
But so many times, anybody who's branded the guy or the girl who tells it like it is, when you stop and take a step back, you go, is that how it is?
Right, right. Well, just the word propaganda suggests, like, we're going to try to convince you of something, whether it's true or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think about some of the advisors to some of the candidates. I'm thinking of one person in particular, and whether she really believes everything she's saying or if she's really thinking, I'm going to work
this
hard to get this.
This is my job.
This is my gig. I'm going to get this guy elected regardless of what I believe or what I feel. You
right.
know? Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of people along the line who have to bite a bullet and say, look, for what I do for a living, I have to toe the company line and say a certain thing.
I remember David Axelrod saying 8 years ago that, you know, we're all kind of whores for our candidates,
sure.
whether we like that or not.
It's totally true.
Right? And there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a break.
Please tell me I'm dreaming.
No, it's real. It's absolutely real.
It's real.
I would pinch you, but you saw the HR memo. All right, more with Dr. John Duffy. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. John Duffy is here, author, The Available Parent, podcaster. Steve Dale's Pet World, is that the name of your podcast?
Exactly. Oddly enough, it is.
Strange name for your podcast. We're talking about the events of last night and then the press conference today and all its residual effects.
Can I just mention something? I'm watching the Obama speech last night, doing it mainly because it's in Chicago. I like the guy so much. I respect him. I wanted to see it. Plus, I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah.
And there was a touching moment. Was that Malia that was there? Sasha had a final she had to study for.
Is that where she was? Because the New York Knicks issued a statement furious that they didn't know where her whereabouts. They were furious.
Andrea Dardless was there last night, and she said that Sasha had
a big test today she was studying for.
Which that just touches me. Like, she misses this. Because what a good student. I would blow off the test. I mean, come on. Yeah. So there was a touching moment where he's talking about his wife Michelle and his daughters, and I welled up. I totally did. Bill.
Yeah, I did too.
But there was a moment, and I got to bring this up, and I hate that I'm bringing this up, but, you know, Michelle seemed very pulled together during it. Malia, you could tell she couldn't control herself, and she was wiping tears from her eyes with her fingers, not to smear her makeup. I know how girls do it. You look up and try and rub under your eye. And then there was a moment that Barack Obama on the stage pulled out a handkerchief and kind of dabbed at his eye. For a half a second, I thought that was more performance.
I think that's possible. You know, I trust him, and
uh-huh. I know he felt that, but maybe he's thinking, if you know, are people seeing my tears? I believe he felt it in his heart, but it looked like a performance to me.
You know, I think there's a psychology to politics across the board, and if you're a politician, You're going to play on emotion, and you're going to play on distraction, and you're going to play on certain elements that are going to draw a reaction. And, you know, I remember that moment, and I'm not confident that that was an absolutely genuine
moment. I don't deny he was crying,
right?
Or, you know, shed a tear, but just seeing that handkerchief, to me, something was like, it just looked planned.
Right, right, right. And it preserves this legacy that he's this, like, kind of family man with no scandal attached to him. And, you know, like, and I don't put it past any politician. You know, somebody somewhere along the line said, I don't trust anybody who would want this job about the presidency, you know. And I think part of it is that there's some smoke and mirrors involved all the time. You're always playing on the psychology of it, you know,
yeah,
and trying to sway people's opinions.
Sure,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what else was going on aside from the words that were being said? There were, and anyone who's ever been in love kind of understands this unwritten, unsaid moment where you could see the history of he and Michelle in their eyes. She mouthed the words, "I loved you. I love you." I don't know if you picked that up.
Yeah.
But you could see there's this quick time thing where you go, boy, when we met, when we got together, there was no way in the world you could understand or I could understand the ride that we were about to take, that
right,
we would end up in the White House. And now those days are done. And wow, we really did something that neither of us or anybody could have foretold years and years ago. And then also there was that moment with his younger daughter where he said, of all the things I've accomplished, being a father to my daughters is the thing I'm most proud of. How do you not tear up at that?
It's almost not fair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a loaded deck in terms of emotion, and I think an awful lot of people are very attached to this family.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was deliberately playing on that, but he was certainly going to mention it because I feel like that's been part of the fabric of his presidency the whole way through, and
yep,
to ignore it would have been not good politics, but also and there's a humanity to it that I think we all kind of, like, most of us attach to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be a good person. That's what we should all strive to be.
Right.
You know, with no scandal attached to you. The words he spoke to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden got a rousing round of applause. That was so touching. Not only did I, you know, right away I chose you, and I also gained
a brother. Yeah.
I mean, that was so wonderful.
It was great. And what I love about this as a psychologist is this kind of turning the tables and having these men in positions of enormous power who are overtly expressing emotion, affection for one another, love for one another, like their brothers.
That's progress, isn't it?
It really is.
There's a time where that would have been frowned upon.
Not that long ago,
right?
I mean, never in presidential politics has that really been prevalent. And if it were, it was stoic. It wasn't broadly emotional like it was last night.
Well, maybe 4 years from now, if Donald Trump just runs, you know, has one term, maybe at his farewell speech, because he seems to love his family, too. You have to give him that.
Yeah, he does. And I can imagine a moment like that, you know, and who knows, maybe he and Pence will have a moment like that, you know, like these people work really, really closely together on enormous issues. And, you know, I think they do become really close. And meanwhile, all sorts of personal things are taking place. Obama's kids started, his daughter started college, and Joe Biden lost a son during these last eight years, you know, and so it's not like they haven't been through something personal together as well as professional. And I think that shows, and undoubtedly that'll happen in the next few years.
They did put the camera on Biden when President Obama was saying being a father is the proudest thing. They did put the camera on Joe Biden, and you felt for him too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. I mean,
boy, this is like a yin and a yang, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, as we're saying all this, I'm sure there are plenty of listeners listening going, well, sure, you guys you're all fans of Obama, so you love those golden moments with him, but you don't like Donald Trump, so you despise the moments that you just heard. But I don't think it takes an expert to realize that there's a huge difference in the personalities of these two men. And look, I can't imagine what it must take to run a country. I can't even come close. I'm
right.
Sure you have to really build a skin that is, you know, as thick as thick can be. But their personalities couldn't be more different, in my opinion.
No, it's a stark difference. But, you know, one note about Trump that I found interesting from the beginning is his willingness to forego what is kind of this gilded, easy life, right? You know, up in literally this kind of ivory tower, in order to kind of expose himself to, you know, being seen in the public eye in a completely different way, in a critical way. I think he has to develop a thicker skin in order for this to work out, and maybe let go of the Twitter account a little bit. But you know, like there is an element of courage, I think, affiliated with that. You know,
can I ask you a quick question? This is something that occurred to me as I'm watching this. You know how sometimes somebody will have this thing where as they're talking, they keep saying the word or they're stumbling a little bit. So they use that as kind of a crutch to say or and they don't realize it. And you have to play a tape of them and then they hear it and they go, oh, wow, I didn't realize I said and all the time.
Right.
Do you think a guy who's got that kind of a quirk like Donald Trump does, that constant back padding, does he realize it? Like, does he understand that for a lot of us hearing him, it's like, all right, we know you've achieved a lot of stuff. Back off a little bit.
You know, having worked with some people who remind me just psychologically of Donald Trump, typically, no. There's little self-awareness, and there's always kind of this thought about, like, the next thing. How do I bolster myself in the next thing, in the next tweet, the next speech, or whatever it is? And so there's precious little self-reflection at a time where it's probably really useful. You know what I mean? Like I was thinking this morning, you know, like, boy, if this man took a moment for some self-reflection, he might present himself a little bit differently and draw in more of the population than he has.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think he probably takes a lot of time to look back and self-reflect in a critical way.
Yeah.
If he self-reflects, I suspect it's in a way that makes him feel good about himself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't you agree that almost always 50% of the time someone's going to be upset with who's in office?
Sure.
I didn't vote for all the winners in my election voting career, but I can only hope that 4 years from now we're sitting here talking. Hopefully, I hope we're still here in 4 years. But talking about what a great job Donald Trump did, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen. Again, now hope is my middle name again. God, I am so wishy-washy. I'm like the John Kerry of WGN.
But it's the only reasonable approach, right? To approach this with hope. And, you know, and there's not much I heard this morning that makes me think that there's no reason to hope. There was a few stumbling blocks, I thought. But you know, it felt slightly more presidential than the last speech. And hopefully that trend continues.
Thanks, John.
Fingers crossed.
We appreciate it. Fingers are crossed.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's John Duffy. Again, the book is The Available Parent. And if people want to hear the podcast, WGN Plus is the way to go. The name of the podcast is not Steve Dale's Pet World. I was reading that wrong. It is actually
Undue Anxiety.
That's what it is.
Thank you, Kim. All right, it's Wendy Snyder here, and it's Bill Leff, and I am really shocked and astounded that it is now going on 2 days in a row that you've worked.
Yep, I'm very proud of that statistic.
You left us in suspense because, of course, you were working one day at the beginning of the year, I believe January 3rd.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that was a lot, and you took a week off.
Needed some time to myself.
And then you came back yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And then you were here the first part of the show, and I said, I can't believe 2 days in a row, and you said, the day's not over yet. We'll see if I come back.
Right, but I'm sticking it out.
Look at you.
I'm putting in a full day's work.
I've been thinking more and more about your trip. You went to Puerto Vallarta, and you said you could not get a very good margarita in Mexico, which is kind of...
Shocking and disappointing all at once.
A little bit, but I noticed you had a really good margarita pizza today for lunch.
Right. To me, the margarita pizza, which is always delicious, should call itself something else because it almost, when you hear it, you go, oh, that would be good. Pizza with kind of a lime flavor, a little undertone of salt and some tequila.
That would not be good.
It sounds interesting. I don't know if it'd be good, but it sounds intriguing. Wouldn't you try a piece of pizza that had that going on it?
I guess you like
pineapple on a pizza?
No.
Right? Oh, you don't?
It's meant for drinks.
Oh,
and sweet and sour.
Interesting. I think if you're the kind of person that enjoys pineapple on a pizza, you go, yeah, or lime. You could throw a lime on there and see what it does. You wouldn't do that?
I would.
Too tropical?
It is a little tropical, and it is weird that a margarita pizza is basically just basil, tomatoes, and mozzarella.
Which, in my head, that doesn't equate to the word margarita. Margarita to me means a margarita. So the pizza
has been...
You got
margarita on the brain. Do you know that?
I just feel unfulfilled. I didn't get what I wanted in Mexico.
Well,
gotta go local to get a good margarita, I guess.
We are in the midst of National Pizza Week.
Oh, I didn't realize.
You didn't?
No.
That's why we...
I'm going to take some time off.
Kevin and I thought, you know what? Bill's had crappy margaritas in Mexico. We're going to set you up with a margarita pizza.
It worked.
And thanks to Max and Leo's, they are helping us celebrate National Pizza Week. And Max and Leo's will offer all customers a free Uno pizza with an order of an Uno or a Due.
All right.
Do you want me to explain?
Please explain. Right. Yeah, what does
I
that
love
mean?
The look on your face.
I'm curious.
All pizzas at Max and Leo's, you can get a big one and share with your family, or you can. They have two sizes, an Uno or a Due. Uno pizzas are single servings, meaning one.
One.
Due pizzas typically serve.
I'm going to go two.
You're a genius.
Yeah.
Max and Leo's is located just inside Kings Bowl Lincoln Park location at the New City Entertainment Complex. And it's coal-fired pizza. Can I just say they use 900-degree coal ovens to cook your pizza?
That's how it tasted to me. I'm like, they must be using a 900-degree oven in this thing.
A variety of pizzas available from signature pizzas, including the Lumina with roasted pears, caramelized onions, basil, and ricotta to make your own pizzas, and even gluten-free pizzas. The reason we bring this up is to celebrate National Pizza Week. Max and Leo's have given us... $100 gift card. $100 gift card.
Wow.
To give away right
valuable.
Now.
Very valuable.
You pick the number, Pizza Man.
I'm going to say caller 15. So if you dial us up at 312-981-7200, don't mess around. Be caller 15 and win this $100 gift card.
In honor of National Pizza Week, and thanks to Max and Leo's, I believe they have a website, maxandleoschicago.com. And you can go visit them inside Kings Bowl, Lincoln Park location at the New City Entertainment Complex. And good luck to you. $100 in gift card in a gift card form to Max and Leo's Artisan Pizza. God bless you, my son.
God bless you, Wendy, and the work that you do.
What work?
I don't know. It just seemed the thing to say at the time.
What's your favorite go-to pizza topping?
I enjoy black olives quite a bit. I like mushrooms a lot, and lately I have been in a very pineapple mood. I know you're going to make fun of that, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Lately, it's worked for me.
I don't like pineapple to be warm.
You know, a lot of places will heat it up.
Or grill it.
There are other or grill it, but there are other places where the pineapple on there is cold.
Then how does, I mean, it's a warm pizza, isn't
it? I think
it?
They put it on, like, once the pizza's cooked, then they'll dispense of the pineapple.
You're the person who, if everybody's sitting around watching a movie or playing Magic the Gathering with Kevin, maybe, yeah. And everybody goes, hey, let's order a pizza from Max and Leo's. Okay, sure. What do you want on it? That's when, like, you have
mine
to get your own.
It's difficult. I've been to a couple places, and I can't speak for Max and Leo's because I've not seen their full menu. But
I got
been
it right
to,
here. You want you, it?
See if they have. Now, I know you'll rip me for this, but shrimp on a pizza can be so, so good. It can also not be good. I've had it in a couple places where it's not good. You have to ask your server, is it good here? And I'm sure they'll be honest with you, positive. But shrimp on a pizza can be good. And in Maine, there are several places that do lobster pizza. And wow, is that good.
Really?
Yeah. It's so, you can't believe how good it is.
They actually have a bunch of different things. Did you ever have pulled pork on a pizza?
I have, yeah.
Boy, you are way.
I've lived. I've been around the block.
Kevin, who has scored our $100 gift card to Max and Leo's?
That would be Larry from Aurora, Illinois.
And he's going to make the trek out here to Lincoln Park?
I guess so. And my favorite, just to throw myself
What's
in
yours, Kevin?
Mashed potatoes on
I
a
wouldn't
pizza.
I would not eat
oh,
that.
Oh, is it good?
That's on purpose? Somebody put that on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's ridiculous.
Yep. You mean, you sure your Steve. Server didn't trip and have somebody's mashed potato end up on your pizza?
Those aren't potatoes.
I would not even consider that. Like, if there were a bunch of options.
Well, do you like mashed potatoes, Bill?
Yes.
And not on like pizza? A pizza.
Not on a pizza.
Well, have you had it?
No, but I know I would
How
not
How about
like
this, Bill? Do you like eclairs?
I do.
Yeah, okay. How about on a pizza?
See, that's Steve,
well, the dessert pizza.
Steve, do you like bicycles?
I do, yes.
Do you like pizza?
I do,
Would
yes.
you put a bicycle on a pizza?
I will not.
Not intentionally.
Not right.
All right. Well, there are all these surveys that say you can tell a lot about a person by what they order.
Right.
I am the traditionalist. Give
you
me,
do sausage or pepperoni, don't you?
I kind of like just boring cheese.
Yeah.
But if I got to pick a meat, I'll go with the sausage.
Isn't it strange?
Take that,
when
Nick
people...
DiGilio.
So we're sitting in the studio, Michael and I, doing the biz lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of you says there's pizza. Or Michael said there's pizza in Bill and Wendy's office. And I uttered the most stupid question of the day. I said, what kind?
And that doesn't matter, does
it? And did I give him a complete rundown of what was there?
And we were very complete.
We don't give a care.
Right.
Just
if it's pizza.
Put it on the plate.
Unless there's mashed potatoes on it.
Yeah.
Where have you had that, Kevin? Mashed potatoes?
Well, I don't. It might be available at Max and Leo's. I'm not sure, but
no,
I've had
not.
It.
I'm positive it's not.
He was at the mashed potato house.
Did you make your own pizza?
No,
that's all you had in the fridge. You didn't have mozzarella, so you put mashed potatoes.
Peace Pizza does it.
Really?
Yeah, it's
on
really
purpose.
Good. On purpose.
Really? With brown gravy on top of it?
No, that's weird, Wendy.
That's where it got weird. Right there.
All right.
Right there.
Well, happy National Pizza Week, and thanks to Max and Leo's for giving away a $100 gift card to one of our listeners, and you can stop calling because it's already been given away. Again, who won that? Larry?
Larry from Aurora.
All right. Perfect.
All right, let's do this. A quick break, and then lots to discuss. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, I have a text question for you.
Sure.
Wendy, who is that guy with you on the air? He doesn't sound familiar.
Oh, that's me.
You've been away a lot.
I have been away a lot, but now I'm going to be here for a lot because I don't have any more vacation days until 2023. I used them all up in the last 3 weeks.
I also want to mention that people are asking if you've ever tried shrimp and pineapple at the same time on a pizza.
Yes, and it's fantastic. It is so good. But the shrimp, it can't be that mealy shrimp that's like...
Like the little baby salad shrimp that are tiny?
Yeah, don't put that on it. Put real shrimp on there. When done right, Fox's Pub in Orland Park does really good shrimp pizza. And I'm trying to remember the name of the other place, also in the southwest suburbs. It'll come to me. But Fox's Pub, if they're still doing shrimp pizza, is really, really good.
You know what? I would try shrimp and garlic on a pizza.
I had that.
But
I have had
really
that.
You are not your typical person,
no,
like I have to tell
I
you
know,
that.
I know that everybody kind of goes to the same things. Remember when, was it California Pizza Kitchen that all of a sudden came and had like
Wolfgang
really unusual?
Puck.
Right, it was, right.
Chicken, barbecue chicken on a pizza does not belong there.
It's so good.
It's not.
You don't like it? No.
It doesn't belong there, although somebody, listen to this, 630 says, my kids are 16 and 21. They put ranch dressing on their pizza all the time.
I don't know that I would do ranch. Some places do an Alfredo sauce.
Yeah, yeah. Ranch happens in my house.
You've
on
had
a
ranch?
Pizza?
You dip it. I don't, but the people I live with do.
They do?
Yeah.
That's. I don't even like ranch dressing.
No.
Even on a wing, I go blue cheese.
Interesting.
Go blue.
Surprisingly.
Italian beef pizza is amazing. I've had that where it's mozzarella cheese and Italian beef and jardiniere. And it's really good.
That would taste thick to me. Is that can you eat a lot of that? That would seem
no.
like a couple of pieces and
yeah,
you're done,
and you're
right?
Done.
Yeah.
You like the light and
yeah.
airy pizzas,
yeah,
like shrimp, pineapple, black olives.
Yeah.
Do you ever go meat?
No. Not,
you really
not
don't?
If, not if I'm making the call. Like if somebody else is making the call, although nobody in my family really does. But if I'm at somebody's house and they've ordered it. You can't say pizza's like this thing that it's impossible to say no to.
Isn't it though?
You can't.
I know. It's pretty difficult. So it's National Pizza Week, happy week. I'm gonna have it
every
night.
Hard to believe
night.
It's here already, isn't it? You wait all year for this week and then it's here and then it's gone.
I know. And
do you have
I
your
don't...
decorations up?
Yes, they're window films.
Right.
Little pizzas, some are full pizza pies, some
yeah.
are just a quarter.
Yeah.
Some is the grid cut.
Yep.
I wanted to mention that last year when I was really religious about watching the Blackhawks games, which I still am, I started this thing at our house, Pucks and Pizza, and I really made a mistake because it should have just been every home game because
yeah.
it got to the point where we all got sick of pizza, and that I've never heard that ever happening
think about
before.
What you just said.
I know, but it really was too much.
Sick of pizza.
Sometimes they were playing, like, you know, back-to-back
I
games,
know.
And it was like,
I know,
you know.
Well, this week they had 4 games in 6
I
nights.
Know.
You guys would have been.
And Chicago runs on Duncan. How about Duncan Keith last
that
night?
That was an exciting finish.
Ow!
Kevin was at the game, and I said to him when I came in, please tell me you stayed till the end, because sometimes, Kevin, because you get up very early, you don't stay till the end of the game. But last night they were in overtime, and Duncan Keith won it.
Oh, yeah. It was thrilling.
Yeah.
I usually stay, I think, actually.
The Red Wings do not play like a team in last place. That was a tough, tough game last night, and everybody thought, well, this will be easy. The Hawks are in first place in their division. The Red Wings are in last place. It didn't play out that
way. It's the rivalry, though. They pushed it up a notch.
Yeah.
I think the Hawks have a tendency, too, where sometimes they're like, oh, we put in a couple quick goals. Let's take it easy for the second period.
That's what happened last night.
But they pulled it out.
Yeah.
I like when they do that.
Yeah.
Gives us a feeling like, they don't know what they're doing, but it's all strategy, strategery.
Duncan Keith reminds me a little bit of Daryl from The Walking Dead. Just a little bit. He's got a little bit of Daryl in him. At the end of the game, he was the star of the game. So
and he
Dan
ate
Rowan,
somebody. Oh, no, he actually he wouldn't.
He prevented somebody
yes.
from eating.
Did he have a crossbow?
Yeah, he had a crossbow, which you rarely see in the NHL.
I don't
Original
think
Original six. But they'll do anything they can to make the game more fun.
I don't know that he looks like Daryl.
Not looks like him. He has the same kind of soft-spoken, like he did a very heroic thing. He won the game with a goal there in overtime, but he kind of downplayed it in a very Daryl-like way from Walking Dead. That's you know how Daryl will score a goal in overtime from Walking Dead, and he doesn't want to talk about it? He had that kind of an attitude.
I want to thank you for a couple of things. You weren't here on Friday when we talked to Kurt Wagner about television.
Yeah.
And we had an abbreviated Kurt Wagner session because there was a shooting going on in Fort Lauderdale.
At the airport, yeah.
But I want to thank you for a couple of shows you turned me on to.
Sure.
One is The Night Of, which you had talked about for quite some time. I didn't know a lot of the things about this show. All I really knew is John Turturro was in it.
Yeah.
But it was executive produced by James Gandolfini.
It's the last thing James Gandolfini did before he died, and he was supposed to, he was slotted to play the lead role, and then he died, and then John Turturro took over the role and does it magnificently.
Oh, I can't imagine it not being John Turturro.
He's that good, isn't he?
Yeah.
But think about, I mean, Gandolfini was an excellent actor.
He was
really
a great
was.
Actor. I still haven't seen that movie with him and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, you'll love it. You got to see it.
All right, I'll
you'll
watch
love
that
it.
Too. You are now telling me what to watch, not directly, but you make these suggestions.
And more times than not, you're happy?
Every time. The Night Of is, if you haven't seen it, binge watch it. It's fantastic. And another one you told me about was The OA.
Yeah, on Netflix.
And it's an original Netflix series, and that was pretty great. So thank you for that as well.
It's really a peculiar show.
And the first thing I asked you was, the OA, what does that stand for? And you said, I can't tell you.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
So we are not going to share it with other people. But I'm telling you that I love binge watching television now more than anything in the world.
It's called the OA?
Yes.
Yeah, the OA.
Not DOA. The
no.
No.
The
T-H-E. The OA.
And it's, wouldn't you agree, it's one of those things that almost the less you know, the better.
Yep.
I almost don't want to tell
anyone. Don't.
It's just better to just go in not knowing what's ahead.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's the one thing you shouldn't tell us about it?
No, he's tricking you. Don't do it.
You're using a Jedi mind trick on me. It's a girl. The actress's name is Britt Marling, and she's the lead in this. And then she's a former Chicagoan.
She is?
Yeah, and I don't know her. I don't know anything about her other than the fact that she lived here. And she also co-wrote half the episodes. And there's a strangeness to the show. It's unlike almost anything you've ever seen. There's elements of a couple of things that you're more familiar with, but it's really a very strange premise. But we're trying to get her for the show because she's an interesting actress and an interesting writer, and I'd love to have her on.
It was really good, and I will say there are a lot of twists and turns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time you think you have it figured out, it takes a different direction.
I guess it's a drama.
It is, yeah.
But I guess that's just blanket statement drama. It's really good. The OA.
Yeah.
T-H-E.
It's on Netflix. It's one of those things where the whole series is there so far. Now, what happened is, much like with Stranger Things, they made a short season, and they left it kind of open-ended because they didn't know if it was going to be a hit or not. So with Stranger Things, they've already committed to a second season. With OA, they're still waiting to find out because it just came out in the middle of December. So indications are that Netflix is happy with it and may do more episodes. I almost wish they wouldn't because I like where it ended.
Yeah, but see, now I have a problem with that. If there's a show that you enjoy, I don't want it to end.
But you know how there's some shows where I guess you could say this about Lost.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
So strong, And then you could tell they ran out of ideas. And...
because they knew it was going to end. Had they kept it going, we would have been on that journey with them. But they had to wrap it up kind of quickly. And I don't believe the people who said, oh, we knew how it was going to end. But they made it up as they went along.
But with Lost, the creator of Lost is a guy named Damon Lindelof. And he knew a little over 2 years in advance what the end date was going
to
be.
So he had 2 years to come up with something better?
That's the problem, is that he didn't come up with something better in those 2 years.
But I don't like when, you know, a TV announces, like, was it Big Bang Theory that announced that they're finished?
Yeah.
Why do you have to end? I don't like things to go away from me when I'm enjoying them. Why did Seinfeld have to end?
It's just if they know an end date, they can kind of close off any loose ends. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know? I like when they know, when they go, okay, we've got one and a half more seasons, we've got one more season, we've got a half. I like that. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't always pay off as well as it should.
Yeah, I guess.
Lost. But then other times it does. The Bob Newhart Show.
All right.
Right?
You win on that one. All right, give me one more show to watch.
What else can I tell you that you should see? Give me a minute, I'll come up with one. I'll come
Mozart in the Jungle.
Mozart in the Jungle, everybody says is great.
It's on Netflix.
I've heard only good things about it.
Is it on Netflix?
Steve.
No, it's on Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon or Hulu? Is it Amazon?
Amazon.
Look at you two.
Not on TV.
We're trying for Kurt Wagner's job.
I don't think he has to worry.
Yeah, it's about a quirky Mexican composer who takes over the New York Symphony.
It's supposed to be great.
Need
I've not
I
seen
say
it, but
more?
Everybody say it.
Yeah, right. Kind of, because that's not grabbing me.
It's Gael Bernal Garcia, right? Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah.
Who was in Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Yeah.
You don't know any of this? No.
Bernadette Peters.
Oh, I love her.
Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, that's Madeline Kahn. Never mind.
She's done it. All right, we'll take a quick break.
We're going to be late for news because of Bertrand,
Steve
you know?
Has the news. Right, yeah. It'll be late because of Steve. And then
that's fake news right there.
Don't say that.
And then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffen. It's Wendy Snyder. Part two of our Wednesday show. We invite you to join in at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you by text or by phone.
All right. We were kind of preempted earlier today when we arrived at 10 o'clock. Donald Trump was holding a press conference.
Yeah.
It started a little late and it went a little long. And there was some time where his tax advisor, his accountant.
Yeah.
I lost all my notes because you and I took a bunch of notes during this. And we didn't really get a chance to talk about it because it ended as we were ending our show.
Sherry Dillon is Donald Trump's tax attorney. So she was addressing how exactly he'll be able to maintain the position of president of the United States while still running a business. And as it turns out, as she explained to us in painstaking detail, it'll actually be his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, who will be in charge of the Trump Industries while he's president.
Like he doesn't have anything to do with it? See, this is what's confusing. Anyway, we have Kristen McQuarrie, who has come in to talk about this. How are you, first of all? Happy New Year.
Great. Happy New Year to you as well.
I have a couple of questions about that. And, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this.
I hear exhaustion in your voice. Well, there's a slight little trace of exhaustion.
I guess what I want to say is a listener texted us saying, you know, why are we hearing from Sherry Dillon? Because this was his press conference. And really what she explained was just, you know, anything that he makes is going to go into a trust fund. He is going to remove himself from the operations of it. But when he's finished being president, either in 4 or 8 years, God forbid, that trust is his again.
That's true. I'm not as worked up about the conflicts of interest that could present themselves because there's going to be so much scrutiny on everything that he does that I don't think he'll be able to wade into that territory. He brought the lawyer in because this law firm has developed what they consider to be a firewall between himself and his company. It's really going to have to be sort of a trust factor, which I know makes a lot of us uncomfortable because he refused to release his taxes. We don't really know the extent of his
business
dealings.
And he said it's only that the reporters wanted it. No one else cares about his tax.
Yes, and I would have to agree with him
really?
to a degree because he still got reelected. I mean, he was hammered on that issue for 8-9 full months.
Elected, not reelected.
Elected, I'm sorry. Right. Did I say reelected?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm already being...
You're 4 years ahead of us.
Very hopeful.
You're a visitor from the future.
No, not that hopeful. But, you know, members of Congress, senators, they are not allowed to hold outside positions when they are in office. So I think there's this expectation that, of course, Trump wouldn't either. And the fact that he's being, you know, he's not just letting it go is troubling. And during the press conference, I don't know if you heard this part, but he talked about how he had just been on the phone over the weekend with someone in Dubai who wanted to offer him $2 billion
Hussein
in
someone.
Advance.
His friend Hussein.
Right, his good buddy. But he said no. I mean, come on. You're being inaugurated in 9 days. And you're still even entertaining phone calls like this?
Shouldn't be doing that.
So,
are we to believe, with all that's at stake with his enterprises, a multi-million-dollar, if not billion-dollar company, that if some major thing were to take place within that business, that his two sons wouldn't say to him, hey, we have an offer of this or we have an idea about that. What do you think? That will not take place in the next 4 years in any capacity?
I think that's very unrealistic to expect that. We have had very wealthy people run for office before. Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee 4 years ago, he was going to put everything in a blind trust. And we've talked about this. It's the best way to do it. Then you at least have a layer of separation that's not members of your own family. So there are a lot of questions about his business dealings. I don't know that they were all resolved. I think there is some truth to the fact that this is a new situation. He has so, you know, real estate is different than owning a cement company or something. He has debt all over the world. He has properties all over the world. And so to me, we need to give him a little more time. But yes, there are some serious red flags.
Do they have to take the Trump name down? Isn't that kind of a weird thing?
It is a weird thing. And they talked about that, you know, is he going to divest himself from everything, including just the name that is now all over the world?
But they could say, but his sons have the same name and they're running the company. So what's the problem with that?
Right. I just think it's unrealistic to expect that your sons-in-law or your sons and the son-in-law who's going to be an advisor are going to create that they're going to have the same ethical standards that someone who is a practiced, you know, a lawyer or someone who does wills or trusts understands that firewall.
And this is totally unprecedented, isn't it?
It's totally unprecedented. And we haven't talked about the explosive nature of the press conference. They did talk about policy. They talked about Obamacare. We were all waiting for him to address what has now come out. CNN, BuzzFeed, different news outlets have released more information about what he and the president were briefed on last week in terms of potential information that Russia has on Trump. And he was asked directly about some of this. It is not confirmed. And that's why a lot of news outlets, including ours, have not run with the details of it. But you can go to BuzzFeed's website and read what they claim are memos about this very intricate relationship between the Trump campaign and Russia. And it's I'll say as I would in any story that is unfolding, what we know today could be completely different tomorrow, might be very different next week. Campaigns get very nasty. There is opposition research that is often compiled to distort a candidate and to throw off reporters and to keep them on wild goose chases. So I have to be so careful in trying to legitimize some of the stuff in these reports. But in general, there is an allegation that some of Trump's behavior long before he was a candidate, when he was in Russia exploring different business deals, has left him compromised, because it is not unusual for the KGB and other operatives in Russia to try to catch high-profile Westerners in compromising positions and then use that to create leverage or create some sort of an extortion scheme. And that allegation is out there.
And it just seems funny when you said some places have been reporting this, like CNN and BuzzFeed. To me, BuzzFeed is where I go to do like a goofy little survey, like what character of the Brady Bunch are you more like?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems kind of strange that BuzzFeed would have this information.
Yes, and they are getting piled upon by what you might consider more credible news organizations such as CNN today for putting out on the internet unsubstantiated documents that are absolutely and completely inflammatory and create all kinds of criminal allegations against the president-elect. If you go to BuzzFeed's main page, they have the Trump information, and then right below, you know, how to spice up your sex life in 2017
I mean.
with someone with a gag around their mouth. So
right.
You do have to take all of this with many, many, many spoonfuls of salt.
BuzzFeed is known more for opinion than for fact. Is that fair?
I think they're known for, opinion, pushing the envelope. It's a younger, more upstart type organization. And as I say this, I also have to keep in mind, it was the National Enquirer who broke the story on John Edwards
right.
and all
yeah.
of his extramarital activities. So I don't want to completely discount them, but they put something out there that is no one has been able to corroborate. And in fact, during the press conference when Trump was asked about it, this is what he said. He said he didn't outright deny
right.
the activity, but he said that, you know, when he leaves the country, he's surrounded by bodyguards. He's very careful. He knows that that there will be cameras, you know, in secret places and hotel rooms. He tells this to his security team.
Very small cameras, he pointed out.
Very small cameras
that
can be hidden.
He went through incredible detail to tell us that the cameras that are hidden are very, very small cameras.
They're very small cameras.
Meaning you can't see them. It's not like, you know, they're hidden in your pillow maybe, or they're very tiny, Bill.
Right. But he tried to make it sound like, I tell my own people this.
Right.
Why would you possibly believe that I would engage in conduct? But he didn't come out and really say that he had not. And there wasn't a good follow-up question to that. He said, you know, I was in Moscow for Miss Universe. I tell my people all the time to be careful. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also a germaphobe. Next question.
Right.
So
that's easy to deflect and be funny. If, and again, do your information and your research and go to BuzzFeed and find out the story. And you'll understand the germaphobe comment. But he's not, I don't know, maybe I'm different than Donald Trump, but I would say there's absolutely no truth to that. You know, let people investigate that all they want. You will find out that did not happen. He never really said, I did not do that.
He did not say that about the conduct. He opened the press conference. One of the first questions was more general about the leak. I mean, it is disconcerting that if this is true, somebody within the security community released this to the media
yeah.
or has been slowly leaking it out. He did say that it was a disgrace that it was let out. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. My opponents, sick people, put that crap together. But that's about as far as he went in just generalizing what is in that report. And it's not just that. It's the whole idea that perhaps going forward, is he compromised? And is he now the subject of a federal investigation, which is what he went after Hillary Clinton for
yeah.
for the last 6 months of her campaign, Crooked Hillary?
Didn't they structure it interestingly and probably very advantageously? You put Sean Spicer up there at the very beginning. For people who don't know Sean Spicer, he's the incoming press secretary to Donald Trump. And it's a name that I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with, but boy, are you going to hear the name Sean Spicer a lot over the next 4 years. Talk about a guy whose work is cut out for him. Sean Spicer's work is cut out for him. But you had him up there to defuse it and to condemn it for the first few minutes before Donald Trump came up, which structurally was a very, very wise idea. Because then you think it's going to come up at some point. But if you have Sean Spicer come up there and talk about how awful it is that all these fake news stories are popping up right now, that was the way to play it, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. You want to put as many layers between Donald Trump and that allegation as you can. After Spicer came up, then they introduced Mike Pence. They did a long piece with the attorney describing the different conflicts. There were questions about Obamacare and some substantive policy questions, but still lingering, and we still don't know a lot of this that will come out as the days unfold. But just the question of whether or not there was really coordination between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. We don't know yet, but these little leaks keep coming out that seem to substantiate there's more to this than perhaps we knew initially.
All right, let's take a break. Kristen McQuarrie's here from the Chicago Tribune. If you have any comments or questions, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Kristen McQuarrie has joined us. She writes about politics in the Chicago Tribune, and there's a lot to write about today, isn't there?
It's quite a busy day.
I would imagine.
House Speaker Michael Magan was just reelected to his 150th term as speaker. There was one member who stood up and voted present, which was kind of gutsy, you know, given the landscape.
Yeah.
Everyone else voted for him. So, yeah, it's been quite a busy day,
I would think.
All right, I have a question. We're not going to reveal dirty little secrets that could or could not be true. You can go to BuzzFeed.com. Is CNN carrying the details as well, or no?
No, CNN is kind of pushing back. They got thrown into the mix at the Trump press conference, and Trump refused to call on their reporter for questions, and so they've spent a lot of
fake news. That's what you guys
do. They've spent a lot of the day trying to defend themselves, saying we have been very careful not to perpetuate anything that we don't know to be true. So,
all right, if this does turn out to be true, and basically what I'm saying is if there's some information that Russia, Vladimir Putin, someone has on Donald Trump that could hold it over his head to basically blackmail him and get Donald Trump to kind of be their puppet and do whatever they want, is that something that is against the law and would prevent him from being sworn in on January 20th?
I don't know that there's anything, and these are all big, big, big ifs. Again, the Trump campaign has said has denied it. In fact, the Kremlin put out a press release this morning also saying this is a bunch of hogwash. So we have to be very careful. But if there is any hint that there was some sort of illegal communication or illegal espionage and the Trump campaign was a party to that, that could be something considered to be an impeachable offense.
And then does Mike Pence just get made president on January 20th? Say something happens to Donald Trump and he's unable to serve, an injury or something. The election has happened, so then it would be...
That's the constitutional order of succession, yes. And I don't want to go too far down this road. As a little caveat, even covering Illinois government and politics for as long as I have been sent on wild goose chases.
Yeah.
I have been trying to track down whether this governor candidate was having an affair with this person, whether this governor candidate... I mean, this came to me and other reporters in true opposition research. It looked verifiable that, you know, this person had a child out of wedlock. I mean, all this kind of stuff does happen, and it turns out to be untrue.
Right.
So we have to be very careful about what we might even be implying. I think what we do know and can say is that, and Trump said it at the press conference, the Russians, he does believe, hacked the DNC's email system,
yeah,
and released all the emails on John Podesta. And that did put a huge kink in Hillary Clinton's campaign at the last minute. It was more, I think, propaganda based than anything illegal or anything that, I mean, campaigns do this to each other. The RNC would probably love to hack into the DNC's email system. So at this point, we do know that that is true. I think we have to see how this unfolds. Maybe Congress will set up a special committee to investigate all of these allegations, and we'll get more information that way.
Another question I have, which I don't really understand. So the Democratic information was hacked and was released and perhaps prevented Hillary Clinton from winning. We know that now. How come we don't demand a recount or say this election was tainted? I mean, I just find it shocking that we say, okay, yeah, it was hacked. That might have helped him win, but so be it.
Well, that's the missing link. There has been no measurement to determine how that hacking impacted the election, if at all.
Right. And perhaps it didn't.
And perhaps it didn't. I think it made her messaging difficult during some of those moments. But did it change voters' minds? Did it make some voter in Michigan switch from being a Hillary supporter to a Trump supporter? You can't measure that kind of change. And I think, having watched the election, Trump won because he tapped into a mentality of middle class America that had been left behind. And they were not influenced by the Kremlin or any of the propaganda that the Kremlin might have been trying to put forth. And in fact, some of the initial reports that the FBI has released suggest that Russia does what it always does with U.S. elections, which is try to undermine our democratic process, not even necessarily favoring a candidate. I think they thought all along, like many of us, that Hillary Clinton was going to win.
Yeah.
One of the initial reports says they had a hashtag ready to go, RIP democracy. But that was if Hillary Clinton won. So it's more just, this is an authoritarian Mm-hmm. I need to go back to government class. Regime in Russia. They try to delegitimize democratic elections and our process every day. They
but we've let it happen. And it looks like there's nothing we can do to prevent it from happening again.
Well, the DNC had did not have proper equipment to take hacking seriously. Obama has indicated he's going to sanction them for this behavior because there does seem to be this link. And we, you know, cybersecurity is you might argue, our biggest threat. We do need to do more about it. We get hacked by the Chinese. We get hacked by the Russians. Trump is correct when he says that. But you know, he also downplays all of the context that this happened within.
Wouldn't you say with Donald Trump, there's an invincibility about him to no matter what information is released, some of it true, some of it not true, so many of his supporters just don't seem to be fazed by it, no matter what it is.
He's almost unembarrassable.
Yeah.
So that's where some of this information would have to crawl into illegality.
Right.
You'd have to see some sort of illegal communication. And there was, you know, he did hire a campaign manager back in March. Remember Paul Manafort?
Sure.
He fired Corey Lewandowski. Paul Manafort moved up. And then Manafort had all these connections and advising the Russian government, perhaps getting paid in an advisory capacity, and he was let go over the summer. So there's a lot more to be known about what actually occurred, and I'm sure Trump has not done himself any favors by continuing to discredit the intelligence community. Look, I think the intelligence community is fighting back.
Yeah. Really quickly, today he wouldn't take a question from the BBC. He wouldn't take a question from CNN. Are we to believe now that while he is the president of the United States, he will look at those news sources and other news sources as illegitimate and just not address them in a press conference situation?
Maybe today, but he'll change his mind tomorrow. And he's done that all along. He cherry picks his questions and his favorite reporters of the day.
All right.
I guess everybody does that. And sports people do that.
They do. I mean, I've been ignored at press conferences, too, because of something I wrote and I made somebody angry and they're going to blow me off that day. It's kind of
and it's just kind of that day, though, right?
I would say there are some, you know, there's some stonewalling that goes on continuously with administrations. Don't get me started.
But if
on
you're
trying
CNN,
to get information out of,
you say to yourself today at a meeting, you sit everybody down and go, what are the next 4 years going to be like? If I know you say he can and would switch. But think about it. If you are a news source and you go, our job is to cover the president, and he refuses to address us, that makes your job nearly impossible.
Well, you still go to press conferences. I mean, you can, the White House, the Oval Office. I mean, that's our property that belongs to taxpayers. So you can't necessarily stonewall people from not being able to attend your events.
Just not take their questions.
You just don't get the little nibbles. You don't get the little scoops. You don't get the little heads up that the favored reporters get.
What does he need the news, the press for? He's got his Twitter account.
Yeah,
he can just do his own press conferences.
He does. His
there.
Base loves that. I keep saying once he's sworn in, I can't imagine that security protocol would not absolutely require that to be taken away. I mean, there is some.
They got to.
I would think.
Kristen, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Kristen McQuarrie. Read her in the Chicago Tribune. A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kevin, I know this is short notice, but can you bump in with some sexy music? Not that this isn't sexy. This is sexy music. But could you find something even sexier than this?
I know this is short. Hot-blooded? This is not.
It's not really. It's not as sexy as I was hoping.
Yeah, it's.
Is
not
it
really sexy
at all? Not at all, right?
No.
Despite you hear, the words "hot-blooded" are in the song. You go
check it and see.
Yeah, that's not as sexy as I was
hoping. Hot-blooded got a fever of 103.
It's about norovirus.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
So that's what's closed at St. Charles High School.
That's what they think. Yeah.
How
virus.
Does that virus take over the entire school? What, 800 kids called in sick?
800 kids were sick on Monday, and then rather than keep it open and have it spread further, they decided to keep it closed for the period of time that usually takes people to get over it or become
not contagious.
And fumigate
the school and clean everything.
What are the signs? Do we know what the signs are, Steve?
Yeah, you have long hair, you love 70s music, and...
I'm not sure that's true. You're making that up. Do you have any sexy... Here's some sexy music. It's better.
Very sexy.
Does that make... Yeah?
Yes.
Here's what I found.
You gotta talk sexy, though, Bill. I know that's impossible.
I am talking sexy.
Yes, you are.
This is my sexy voice.
Don't stop.
I'm laughing at it, and it's my voice. I know, why am I laughing
because
at it?
Because it's funny.
All right, here's what I have found, and I did this especially for you. I've been gone for a couple weeks. I've not been able to help you out, but I'm going to help you out right here. I found some facts about sex and love that I think could be right up your alley. These are things that could help you sexually and in the field of love.
Dr. Bill.
Some people, Wendy, this is according to MSN, a legitimate news website.
Very sexy. They put the right. sex, the S that's what the S for stands sex. For. Yeah.
According to S and what?
The More Sex Network, MSN. Some people...
Oh, I love when you do your research.
It says some people may be wired to want more sex, and those people are called men.
I was just going to say that.
Your brain... Now, let's think about that for a second. Some people are... It says may be wired to want more sex. It doesn't. Everybody knows that, right?
Well, yeah.
There's some people that want it constantly. There's some people that can't live without...
Constantly?
They need it all the time. Yeah, don't you know
no
anybody like that?
No breather in between?
Heavy breathing.
And that whole wired thing is overrated, too.
Do you think it is?
Ideas, yeah. I mean,
it says your brain wiring may influence your number of sexual partners, according to a University of California study. Researchers perform brain scans of volunteers. But don't you think if you volunteer for a sex study, that means you've got a vested interest? You want to know more.
You want to know why you want it all the time.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that say that to you? It does to me. While they viewed images, some sexually suggestive, they were also asked about their sexual behavior in the past year. That was what the study entailed. It turns out that those whose brains were most active when viewing the sexual images also tended to have the most partners.
All right, that again
you would know
is
that.
Men.
It is men.
Aren't men more aroused
with visuals?
Yeah, than women
right.
are.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Think about it. Remember,
seems like we could have conducted this study.
I tried to.
Can
nobody,
we get a federal grant to do this?
Nobody would talk to me. I need a lab coat. Could you get me a lab coat, please? Now, this one seems strange to me. Spouses may have similar DNA.
I've heard that.
Why would
from
that be,
living together all the time. I don't know.
You think that develops over time?
I don't know if your DNA can change just by,
I
you know,
think
environmental
so.
Issues.
Scientists already knew that people tend to choose romantic partners with similar characteristics, such as age, race, religion, income, and upbringings. I don't think that's true anymore. I think there was a time where that was probably true.
Yeah.
I don't see it like that anymore.
And I mean, what if you date someone that looks exactly like you do?
That would be weird.
Like if James Spader and I hooked up. Wouldn't that be weird?
For so many reasons.
I know.
For so many. I can't even, there's not enough paper in the city for me to list how many reasons that would be weird for. But a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. Did you see this, Wendy, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science? They found that people also tend to marry others that have similar DNA.
Well, I don't understand that.
You wouldn't know that if you met somebody. You wouldn't immediately go, wow, her DNA is just like mine. How'd that happen?
So, you know, first date, you get to know each other a little bit. Second date, maybe a nice dinner. Third date, you do it. And fourth date is genetic counseling to
yeah.
find out if you have the same DNA.
If that, I don't even think you wait till the fourth date. You do it on the second date. During this, researchers studied the genetic material of 825 white American couples. They found that fewer differences existed in the DNA between married people than between just two randomly selected individuals within the same race. Well, see, that it's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
I guess it...
Well, if you just take two random strangers,
right.
the chances are they're not going to have very many similarities in anything.
Right.
If you're dating someone... obviously, you're going to date someone who probably wants to have sex as much as you do. I mean, give or
right.
take a little bit.
Right.
But you do try to get somebody like interests, things, you know, that you both enjoy.
Yeah.
I know there are some differences, but doesn't it make sense then if you both enjoy the same things
oh,
and you
yeah.
both crave the same food that perhaps there might be a link in the DNA?
Without a doubt. You could have saved these people millions of dollars.
God, why can't I get a grant?
Most Americans have an STD, it says here.
It does
most?
Not say
it's,
that.
Look. Most Americans have an STD.
Well, that's scary.
I will now list them. Do you want me to call their names off? It says, here's a scary sounding stat for you. More than 2/3 of healthy Americans are infected with one or more strains of HPV, a type of virus that is transmitted through sexual intercourse. 2/3?
Well, that's why that vaccination is out there. And I know there are a lot of people who do not choose to get their kids vaccinated.
Right.
But for females, that can cause cervical cancer.
Right.
And for the boys, they can transmit it to another girl. So they're, if a boy gets the vaccination, they're kind of preventing the spread of it. And when you tell a teenage boy that they're going to get warts on their appendage, they say, okay, where do I sign up for the vaccine?
Right. I'm sure of it. All right. So they say two-thirds of those. Now, here's how the numbers break down. When tested at a New York medical center.
Oh, it's in New York.
Right. What do we care?
They're looser there.
Right.
Aren't
oh.
they? What do you mean?
Sodom and Gomorrah over there in New York City. The researchers found that they tested the DNA of 104 men and women in this study that took place in 2014. But the not so scary news is it says is that only one in four. I'm sorry. Only four of the people tested out of 104 men and women were carrying the type of HPV that is more contagious. So it's a more dormant form that many people have.
Well, and I want to know the age of the people tested because I would imagine that younger people don't go to the doctor as frequently.
I would imagine too.
Other than a lot of them might not have great insurance, but, you know, young kids, unless your parent forces you, when you were living on your own originally, did you go get physicals every year?
No.
See what I mean? It's
right.
like at that age, you don't really
right.
think about doing that.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break and then more of these. These are things that could help you both sexually and in your love life. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, yeah, this is sexy.
This is sexy.
A little Marvin Gaye.
This is sexy. Over at MSN, they put together some things that they say could help your sex life and help your love life. Those are synonymous, I'm guessing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you have one without the other? I guess you could.
Yes, you can.
How about this one, Wendy? I think you'll find this one particularly interesting. Women can make their voices sexier, but men cannot.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I think I'm living proof of that.
You can go sexy if you want.
Oh, yeah.
See? You can do it.
In a 2000,
what,
I just choose
limit
not to.
Two words?
I could do three words if I
All
wanted
right, let's
to.
Go.
No, I thought I could, but I can't. In a 2014 study, Albright University researchers found that women were able to deliberately manipulate their voices while counting from 1 to 10, which I find very sexy.
1.
Oh, stop it.
2.
Don't.
3. Yeah, guys can do that too.
Here's my version, right? 1, 2, 3. If anyone's aroused by this, call us immediately.
You sound I love like... how you put the 3 right after your 2.
Thank you, Steve.
That sounded good. Like Barack Obama counting.
You. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. They did this to sound more attractive. I'm telling you, it works on me.
Wait, how about
you don't
want to
be
something...
near me in an elevator with someone calling off the floor numbers. I go nuts.
That's just crazy. Say something sexy. How can it be sexy if you repeat a number?
I don't know. I just think, here's what it breaks down to. Guys are turned on by anything.
You know what? That's what this points out.
That's what it is. That all that it would take for a guy to be aroused is a woman counting from 1 to 10, and the guy's like, yep, that's it. I'm ready.
Did Sesame Street turn you on when Maria did the counting?
The count.
Ah, ah, ah.
But sorry, guys, it says here in this survey, when men tried to be sexier, and it shouldn't have said tried, they were actually rated as sounding worse. So the harder a guy tries to sound sexy, the least it works for them.
I will tell you this.
That's what works for you, Bill. You don't try at all.
Right.
He just is.
I just am.
He is sexy.
By proxy.
But, and women can back me up on this, 312-981-7200. If a guy is trying to act sexy.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you would feel like goofy doing it, and we would laugh at you.
Right. Because
it's like you were, I'm going to try to be sexy
right
now. Hey, baby. And then we'd laugh at you.
Right.
Because you're not doing it with conviction, because you even doubt yourself that you're sounding sexy. If you just do it and you're being sexy,
then it works.
We won't laugh at you.
Right.
But if you're trying to be sexy, it's
right.
You're not doing it with conviction. You don't even believe you're sexy, and then we laugh at you.
Can I give you an example of
yes.
this that I think will illustrate your point? I told you when I was on vacation, when I was in Mexico, they would do these water aerobics, and to get it going, they would play the music really loud. And then people who worked at the resort, five or six of them, would come to the front of the pool and they would do this dance, right? And the women who did it, you sit there and you go, well, that's just plain sexy. Is you got a very pretty girl gyrating and to the music, and that's nice. But then guys were doing the same dance, and it just looked ridiculous.
Well, to you, did you ask your wife?
No, I wouldn't let her watch that smut. I demand that she go back to the room during that.
But again, guys would be turned on more to visual things than a woman would.
Look at how there are so many magazines. Well, I guess now with the internet, it's probably not that way anymore. But there was a time where if you went into a store that was like 7-Eleven but wasn't 7-Eleven, you know, those convenient food stores.
Right.
You look behind the counter and there were like 40 magazines that had pictures of women without their clothes on and one or two with pictures of men without their clothes on. Because women are smarter. Like, they can create their own storyline. A man needs to see pictures. They have no idea what's going on. You got to draw pictures. You got to use
diagrams,
ropes, pulleys,
charts and graphs.
You got to dress up potatoes like people and make them do stuff. It's weird.
The only magazine I knew ever with naked men was Playgirl. Yeah. And then someone told me that really
that's for more men. Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Well, just the mere, like if you say a men's magazine, that means it's got pictures of naked ladies in it. If you say a woman's magazine, it's got self-help articles and recipes, yeah. Because we've been discriminated against.
We want smut too,
but
do we?
I mean?
I guess maybe not.
Women's magazines are sort of self-smut, you know, like how to look better this way or look better that way, or
yeah, working hard to please the man,
or to please the other women, or to not, you know, to look good versus the other women.
Oh, because women are very competitive in the way they dress.
Right.
They're very
catty.
Yeah, all right. But I'm not trying to turn them on.
Look at how with literature that is meant to be erotic, like 50 Shades of Grey for women was great because it told, I didn't read it, but it told some sort of storyline.
I live it.
But look at how many women gravitated toward that,
yeah,
right?
And dragged their husbands to see it.
So for guys, like 150 pages in, you go, there's no pictures in this book. I'm not reading this. This is ridiculous.
But did men see the movie?
Probably. I didn't see the movie either. So
I didn't either.
I don't know. I rented a movie of a woman counting to 10. That's all
one,
I need.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah.
Three.
I had to turn my phone off. Wait till she gets to 8. I can't hold back. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick
break. Does Alexa turn you on? Who's
what
your
is that?
Girl? Siri, who do you have?
Oh, I don't know what this is.
You have Cortana. You don't even know her name.
No.
Ooh, that's sexy because she's foreign.
Right.
Right back to Foreigner.
Yeah.
Cortana.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't know her name. She's been with you for how long?
I never interact. All right, for people that don't know, on everybody's phone, they have Siri.
You're the only one with Cortana because you got a Windows phone. I still don't even know what that is.
So I never interact with it the way everybody else, you know, talks to their phone stuff. When I do it, the phone goes, please. It doesn't even care.
Do you have it set up?
I think so.
Can you press the button and ask for, hey Cortana, I just want to see if she's sexy.
I don't know how to do that.
Press the home button.
No, I'm still here. I have no idea how to do that.
press the Punta Cana button.
Careful. Jeez.
All right, a quick break.
He doesn't even know what he did.
I don't know what he did.
I do.
That's where he just was, wasn't he?
No, Puerto Vallarta.
But your Punta Cana was way funnier.
Steve, count to 10. All right, a break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder and it's WGN, but you probably already guessed that. We're at 312-981-7200. If you would like to chime in, please do. You can call us there or you can text us there. A quick question, Wendy. Do you think it's possible that a website could be established by a business that they know for sure is impossible to navigate? Do you think that is at all a possibility?
I would hope it's not possible. If someone sends you to their website, you'd like it to be easy to navigate
right.
and to help with your business.
Let me give you, here's an example from the other day. I was traveling and it is now customary for most airlines, not all, but most, to charge you for the bags that you check through, right? For years and years and years, when you brought luggage, part of the pact that you made with them in purchasing a ticket is you're going to provide myself and my luggage a trip somewhere and maybe even give me a meal. But those days are over.
Yeah,
you have to purchase
time.
Your meal. You also have to pay for your bags. And there's a September 11th security fee.
Yeah, but that's minimal.
Right.
And I don't care about paying that.
No, I'm fine with that. But the extra $40 per bag.
Now, not all airlines charge you for a bag.
Not all do. Most
Southwest
do.
Doesn't.
Right. They don't. And I applaud them for it. I hope that continues. The airline that we flew to Mexico and back, I will not say by name.
CheapyFlights.com?
Cheapo Flights.
Oh, Cheapo Flights.
But a major air carrier, one that has the sound of the Old West. Can
all
I
right.
say that? But
yes.
I won't go further than that. And for the most part, my experience with them was extremely positive. The people on the flight were very, very nice. Everybody with the flight crew was fantastic. But they have this thing where they say to you, you have a couple options with your bags. You can pay for them at the gate, but if you pay for them in advance online, you'll save 50%, which sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
So who would do it online.
Right. You try to do it online. But they've made it so that you can't possibly do it online.
Well, did you have one of your kids do it? Because I could see where you would have a little trouble.
Oh, beyond trouble. Beyond trouble.
Well, what confuses me is it says buy bags here. I'm not buying a bag. I have one.
Right. They worded it a little creatively.
But if you click there, a little something comes up where you type in your name and your confirmation code.
Okay, but then does it say where you are? Because the name I know. It's written on my underpants. So I just I looked at my underpants and I went, same four letters. I'll put those there. But then it says where confirmation code, doesn't it say, this may be a little hard to find?
No.
It doesn't say that on yours?
No. Here, it says log on. And you need to confirm. Whenever you book something online, you get a confirmation code. That's your reservation number.
Click this where it says find your confirmation code. Because my confirmation code wasn't written anywhere.
I don't believe you at all.
It wasn't written anywhere. And to prove it, I didn't bring them with me today. I had them yesterday. Like everything I had to do with this trip, everything I kept a copy of because I've dealt with them in the past.
It gives you examples of where it is. Now, if you have a ticket that you purchased, I never get a physical ticket anymore. It's usually
online.
Right.
Right.
And it has your confirmation code on there.
Right.
You couldn't find it?
No, because I booked it through a travel agency because it gives you an option for Expedia and one or two others.
Priceline, Orbitz, Travelocity, Cheapo Air.
Right. Although they really exist? I thought you made that name up.
No, I guess they
do. I didn't know they really existed. All right, so I did it through a travel agent, and I talked to the travel agent, and I said, is there a code, a confirmation code? And she goes, no, it's just this is the date of the flight, this is the time of the flight. Go to the airport, and they'll fly you to where you're going.
Well, that travel agent should have said that there is a confirmation code, especially if you said, I have to buy my bags.
I called them back, and I said, they're asking for it. And she said, no, it doesn't. There is no confirmation code.
There's always a confirmation code, because what if you get to the airport, and they say, I'm sorry, Mr. Leff. Oh, it's Leff. I'm sorry, we don't have confirmation of your flight. Something must have happened. And then you say, no, I have the confirmation code here. Punch this in. You have to have it.
Well, I kept a copy of all the flight arrangements. Like, I kept a
Why
copy
of Why are you
of
in charge?
Everything.
Why
I should not be in charge.
Have Terry or the girls handle
I
it.
I should definitely not be in charge. But we in other experiences with the same airline, and not just me, I wasn't the only one up there saying to them at the gate, look, I did everything in my power to try to do this online. You guys make it impossible. And they also give you a phone number to call if you can't find your confirmation code. They give you a number to call so you can do it on the phone, except that nobody ever picks up. It's a series of prompts. And anytime you hit zero, you know how usually on a website or on a phone line, if you want to talk to a live operator, zero gets that done. That just starts you over at the beginning of the menu.
Oh, my God. That's when you grab the receiver of the phone and just smash it on the counter.
I know.
I hate it.
I know. But I maintain, with all due respect to this airline, because they, for the most part, they do a nice job.
And I've heard bad things about it, and we had a really
You've had good experiences with them?
Except that we had to pay for our bags, which I think sucks, but that's why the flight is so cheap.
Right.
That's how they keep their prices down.
But don't you think they're kind of like they could make this process so much easier, but they don't want to because they make twice as much money if you pay for your bags at the gate? Don't you think they know that? And they're going, well, we could make it easier or we could continue to make the high margin of profit we make by charging people the gate and telling them, sorry, sir, there's nothing we can do about it. You got to do it online.
I can't believe anybody would do that intentionally.
Think about all the money. It costs me double. So it's $80 there and it's $80 back. So if I did it online, that's $80 just for me. So multiply that by everybody on the plane and multiply that by how many flights they have coming in and out every day. They make tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a day just by making their website hard to navigate.
All you need is the confirmation code.
But it doesn't exist. There is no confirmation code.
I wish I could see your email because I'll bet you $100. That's how confident I am.
I looked everywhere, and I traced back to, like I said, to the travel agency. I went through every bit of documentation to and from, and I have a confirmation
for the travel agency.
For my right. But they're looking for a 6-digit number, and that's a 10-digit number. So it's a different number. It just doesn't exist.
Why did you go through a travel agency?
They're easier to put the package together.
We
were going to book the hotel and the airline separately, and it was like $1,500 more that way.
Yeah, and this was a package deal and an all-inclusive. It's not like you're just getting tickets to Orlando or whatever. All right, I guess I understand that.
Yeah.
I just feel like they had to. I have seen a confirmation number. Do you have this airline? Do you have an account where you could sign in?
No.
Because I fly Southwest. I have an account and an app, and I have had a confirmation number because that's the only way you can check in and stuff. So I don't understand how you wouldn't have a confirmation code.
We had one with this airline years ago. We used to go on
it's
a ski trip.
It's per transaction, though.
Right.
Oh, you had the account.
We used to have one with them, but we didn't anymore because they had a deal where if you flew a certain amount of flights, you got a flight for free, except when you tried to book that, there was no availability to anywhere in the United States or anywhere you'd want to go.
So why do you continue using this airline is my
question. Well, this one, because the travel agent booked it.
Oh, it was a charter.
Yeah, there was nothing we could do. But if I had to do it on my own, because of this, I wouldn't do it because they make things like this really difficult. And I'm sure there's people way, way smarter than me that could have gotten it done in a minute. But as I'm complaining about it at the airport, there's a guy next to me who's making the exact same thing saying, I was on your website all day trying to book my luggage and I couldn't do it. And all they do is the standard, well, sir, you got to try harder. There's nothing we can do.
Someone is saying, you know, I took this particular airline. It cost my daughter $87 because she didn't do it online. We had never flown them before and never will. And I will admit to you that the first time we used this particular airline, I didn't know about pre-registering for bags. And when we got there, I couldn't believe how much it was for a bag.
Oh, it's insane how much it is. But it doesn't make sense
again,
how much it is.
Again, somebody says call the airline. They have the code with your name, but you couldn't get through.
There's no way. When I was in Mexico the last day, I'm like, I'm going to get this done. I'm not going to get on the flight and pay the extra. So the guy at the hotel was helping me through it, and he was laughing hysterically going, I've never been on a website where you just can't talk. I mean, they give you a number on the website. When you call that number, you can't talk to anybody.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not even seeing a phone number to call on the website.
No?
Everyone else said, I haven't flown this airline. I flew another budget
airline.
One that I didn't know was so expensive for the bags. Somebody says their website is very easy to navigate. It seems like it is. It's just you need that confirmation
number.
It's
easy to navigate, but the information that they're asking for is impossible if it exists at all.
Everyone has a confirmation number, and someone is really scolding you, saying you should have gone through Bertrand Travel, and why didn't you?
Steve won't deal with me.
This is exactly why.
Steve said point blank he will not deal with me. I tried.
He's a smart guy.
He is a smart guy. All right, a quick break, and then there's more show, and we'll give you your confirmation numbers. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up. I maintain that there are some websites designed to fail. I just went on a trip.
I think you're a conspirist.
What am I?
A conspirist.
I might be. I'm sure you've all visited a website where something should be really, really easy, but is not, I think, to their benefit. I was trying to prepay for my bags for a flight to and from Mexico. But it asked for a number that didn't exist, and then when you call the number they tell you to call, you can't possibly talk to a human being. No matter what button you press, it just takes you back to the beginning of the menu, which, by the way, should be illegal.
I, of course, I do some telephony, is what they call it.
Yeah.
Not phony, P-H-O-N-E, like phony, no.
You do the voice.
Telephony, I guess is what you would say. And I, you know, for an operator, press 0.
Right.
many times you can hit zero and it will take you to the operator. However, I've noticed just me calling people, you have to go through maybe a couple menus before that zero trick will work.
Right.
So you're screwed.
You know, have you ever, I'm sure you've done this at some point, you have to call your credit card to either check on a, there'll be some charging and go, I don't remember what that is or whatever. So you call them and they ask you all this information by way of computer. It's a computer voice that sounds like it's real. And it's not. It's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's the one. That's the one. And then when you finally talk to a regular person, they ask you that exact same information.
I think they're just trying to make sure it's really the person they're talking to.
Right.
I don't mind that.
I love the button that's, all right, so you'll hit a button and it goes, Mr. Leff, it says here you're one of our more valued customers. I just go, am I really? Wow.
They never like tell
somebody,
me that.
Like somebody's impressed by that. Wow, the robot says I'm one of the most valued customers they have over at Visa. This is a good day.
You'd be excited if Rosie the robot said that to you.
I would be.
All right, Vito's on the line. What's going on, Vito?
Hello, how are you?
Frustrated.
Fantastic.
Mr. Wright, are you still booking through TWA?
Yes. Yes, why? Is that bad?
I think that's the issue. This is what happens when you go on vacation.
Right. It screws everything up, doesn't it?
Well, Wendy was a little happy that you were gone. She was able to take control of the radio station.
I got to be honest with you. I hate when Bill is gone because I have to do harder, more work. I really love when Bill's here.
But Bill, are we going to...
Sorry, have we interrupted you from having an afternoon snack? What are you sitting there... What are you eating?
Just a piece of hard candy, Miss Snyder. I'm so sorry.
All right, Veet. Come on. Come on, Veet.
So the key is I must stay local. I can't leave anymore.
You should just stick to tennis, I think.
And no more TWA. Those days are gone. All right. I agree. Thank you, Vito.
I'm going to hang up on myself now.
Enjoy the rest of your hard candy.
Are you guessing watermelon?
Yeah, it sounded like a watermelon Jolly Rancher. Yeah.
Somebody said if you were on a charter, your first check bag should have been free. And you were on a charter because if you go through vacation packages, and there are plenty out there, they charter a flight from various airlines, and that's supposed to be all handled for you.
But everyone on the flight wasn't with that same program. There was only a small handful of us that were. There were only a couple of us.
Then they didn't charter the flight.
Fully,
I don't really know.
Yeah, it's not
know.
A fully chartered flight. What this service does is they line up hotel rooms and airfare, and they package them to get, you know, unsold ones because we did it kind of last minute.
Okay.
So that's what they do. It's not a full-on charter.
And somebody said your travel agent should have helped you with that information.
Well, she insisted that the number I was looking for also did not exist, that there was a reservation number, which I had, but not a confirmation number. But I'm not kidding when I say this. Anywhere where there was a number written anywhere on any of my back and forth between them, I tried plugging that into this particular box, and it just wouldn't accept it.
Bill, why didn't the travel agent prepay for the bags when the flight was booked?
I don't think that that's considered part of the package. I think that's considered separate. Actually, I know it is. Yeah, I know it is. Because I was real meticulous on making sure, because you know how sometimes if you fly in somewhere, you got to make sure transportation to and from the hotel or wherever, that's part of
was
it.
Was that included?
Yeah, that was fine.
I think
that was
bags
fine.
Are too. I don't know because I am not a very good traveler. I completely rely on Jim to I just go, point me in the direction, tell me where to go and when I should take my clothes off.
Oh.
When I'm getting searched at the airport.
Oh, interesting.
That's really all I do.
I'll ask next time.
But I think, Bill, why didn't you ask the customer service person in Chicago to find your confirmation number for the return flight? Did you have to pay for these bags on the return flight, too?
She said to me, the lady in Chicago, we had to pay for both ways. I said to the lady in Chicago, am I going to have the same problem? And she said, no, you shouldn't have a problem coming back because you've already flown with us once. But there was still no confirmation number anywhere. I bought that. I'm like, that makes sense. Why would it happen twice?
I would discuss this with them.
All right.
Try pressing if you're trying to get a person when you get, because I know we've all been told hit
so
zero.
It's so frustrating, and
hit
then
zero.
Nobody's there.
They're saying hit zero and then the hashtag.
Really?
Which in our day used to be called the, you know.
Pound sign.
Right. So.
You want to pound somebody. That's why it's called that.
Somebody says try pressing £0, £0, £0 a few times. That gets you to a person 99% of the time anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Anywhere.
All right, I'll try that.
I'm going to just call random 800 numbers later and see if that
works.
All right,
fun.
All right,
we'll take a quick break, and then we'll see what Ro and Anna have in store for you next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.